This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, we've been taking you inside the game with a technical study group, analysing every match in Qatar. And now the tournament has entered the last 16, things are getting exciting. We now know the winners of the match between France and Poland. So let's get back in the car and hear what our experts have to say.
Welcome back and good evening, everyone. We just left Altomama Stadium, where we witnessed France beat Poland by a score of 3-1. With us tonight in the car, Mr. Alberto Zaccaroni, Sunday Olise, Farid Mondragon, our football performance analyst, Elliot Stonell, and myself, Arnie Barres. Sunday, France went into this match as an overwhelming favourite. How did they approach this game tonight?
Well, the French team came out with a very clear game plan, which was to come out with a formation of a 4-2-3-1 when they were defending. But when they were in possession of the ball, they went into a 4-1-2-3 playing formation with Rabiot from the midfield taking up one step forward and getting into the same lines like Griezmann. This gave them a very offensive outlook when they had the ball. But what I found also very interesting with them defensively, without the ball, they always try to shift with their body shape and the way they position themselves to push the opposition to play towards their right side, compensating for the freedom given to Mbappe, who was on the left side to play. This now made them have a loose defensive form because they couldn't really win the balls back in the opponent's half. They had to win it mostly when the ball was in their own halves. That was how they decided to manage this. But offensively, what they did that was extremely genial, in my opinion, was when they had the ball, every game was, the setup was built to end, the aim of build-up and forward play was to find Dembele and especially overall Mbappe. The moment they were able to do that, then the machine was on. And that was something very impressive with them.
Yes, I think that stood out, especially in the first half probably, right? Where they had a little bit more possession compared to the second half, where they also spent longer times in a mid-block. You mentioned that offensive triangle with Rabiot and Griezmann pushing up and Mbappé and Dembélé stayed wide. Was that the basic idea to have them wide so that they could go into the 1v1s as you just described? Would you agree?
Exactly. But at the same time, tactically, but they had Giroud up in front in point. With the fact that both wingers were staying wide, that gave room for Giroud and Rabiot coming in to have a straight line to operate on. At the same time, when they lost the ball, they could that straight line come back. And what Rabiot did that was very, very interesting was each time they lost the ball, he was the one who was moving back towards the side of Mbappe. It was a game plan, very, very clearly made out with the aim of giving Mbappe and Dembele the freedom to operate wide and that aim of getting 1v1 no matter what.
And what stands out to me is that given the quality of players that France has, I feel that they are always happy, at least for periods of the game, to also defend very organized and wait for counters. Do you think that's on purpose to create chances for counters?
I think it's on purpose because let's look at it like this. What do they have as strength? The strength of the French team is pace from Dembélé and from Mbappe, especially Mbappe, who's probably one of the fastest players in the world today. So for that pace to really come into play, they need space. So the idea of dropping back and allowing you to play is also smart because when you lose the ball, there is space for them to operate. And that's, we saw what the second and the third goal came from.
And Elliot, we obviously collect a lot of data on the individual games, but we also keep team and tournament averages. And this gives us an opportunity to look at styles of play and compare them to different teams. What does the data tell us about how France plays?
Yeah, so in terms of possession control, they ranked ninth with 48%. We spoke about their tendency to form a mid-block. They're currently ranked second highest of the tournament. They spend an average of 31% of their defensive time in a mid-block. Interestingly, in terms of counter-attacking, they're actually ranked the second lowest of 4%, which to me suggests that when they do win the ball back, their first thought necessarily isn't to go direct into Mbappe or Ndombele, but to maybe start to control possession again and work those opportunities into the wide players. And obviously when they do counter via those two players, they're very effective with it.
And Alberto, you observe Poland. What was their game plan and how did they try to win the game? Obviously a very difficult task for them.
Poland played with a team that was obviously much stronger than they were, but they tried to counter-attack it by being compact and counter-attacking. Well, this compactness started to wane in the second half because obviously physically it was difficult to hold on to, and that gave them problems in the second half.
Quindi per me la squadra ha fatto quello che poteva.
Well, they had difficulties holding on to this because at the end of the day, there were lapses in the mid area of the mid section of their defense, and that was it started to wane up, and that did not stop Mbappe from really eventually concretizing. Offensively, they were not able to be performant because they lacked quality also going up front, and that affected their game, and they ended up playing long balls and trying to break through that way. Since Rabiot was doing the work of covering up on the left side from the central midfield, trying to cover up the left side where Mbappe was not falling back into, that gave freedom of space in the central point of play for the Polish players to play through the middle. When they recovered the ball back, when they regained possession, they had opportunities to play through the middle going forwards, but they couldn't do that because they were lacking the quality too.
And obviously Dembélé and especially Mbappé are obviously very, very difficult to defend against. Alberto, if I could ask you, how can teams effectively defend against such strong players that are so strong in a 1v1?
Well, playing against these players is very, very difficult, especially when they've got pace and they got also the technique to combine with it. But that notwithstanding, even giving them more space in the defensive areas even makes it even much more difficult to play against them. Well, a well-organized defense will make things more difficult for them because one will be attacking and the other one will be covering up for them. So,
yeah, I just wanted to touch on how dominant France were in attack today and some of the key metrics that they outperformed in. So I'll start off with receptions in behind. For the tournament so far, they've been averaging 10.1 and they made 16 today. Receptions in between the midfield and defensive third, they've been averaging 80 and made 107 today, of which Mbappe made a quarter of these. Defensive line breaks per 90, they were making 11. This game they made 18. And finally, throughout the tournament, they've been averaging 2.7 attempts on target per goal, and they continued that today with 80 attempts on target and scored 3 goals. So that's quite understandable considering the level of quality they have up front in Giroud and Mbappe in terms of finishing.
And Farid, we've seen two very experienced goalkeepers today. What are your thoughts on the two of them?
Well, first of all, Szczęsny says goodbye to a very good World Cup for him. I think not only for stopping two consecutive games to PKs, to penalties, but very good saves in all of the games, including today. It's a good balance for him. In the first goal, I mean, there's no chance at all. Second goal, maybe he's guessing a little bit. Mbappe is gonna look or send the ball to his second post, and maybe he slightly moves to his left, and then he finds himself very deep in the goal, and with his right angle, that's the goalkeeper's angle, very, very open. And obviously in the third goal, no chance at all. Hugo Lloris, who is making his appearance in his fourth World Cup, ups and downs. I think he has a lot of experience behind, underneath the goals. He's very, and the posts, he's very, very good with a lot of good reaction, good reflexes. Struggling a little bit with the play and the action with his feet. Struggling a little bit when he had to get and come a high cross. But I think his teammates, his coach, and everyone has a lot of confidence in him. So it's Lloris who goes through to the next round, and this is not a new world for him. We remember this is the same path that they lived in Russia 2018, and I think he has the experience enough to come back from any mistake, and now on to have his mind in the quarterfinals.
Great. Thank you once again, gentlemen. So Poland is out while France continues its pursuit of defending the title and will now meet either England or Senegal in the quarterfinal. From myself, Farid, Alberto, Sunday and Elliot, we wish you a good night, and please join us again tomorrow.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.